This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello and welcome to Paranormal Pets. This is Brandi Stark, your host, and today we have Eva Poehler, who is a USA Today best-selling author of over 35 novels in multiple genres, including supernatural mysteries, which is our thing, thrillers, and young adult paranormal romance based on Greek mythology. Her books have been described as addictive and sure to thrill. So she is a fellow PhD. She got her doctorate in English in the mid-90s, specializing in 20th century British and American narrative strategies. She has taught writing and literature for over 20 years at the University in San Antonio, her hometown, where she lives with her husband, two of her three adult children, and three rescue dogs. And we are going to have a wonderful chat with her right after we get back from these messages.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, Stitcher, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
All right, and welcome back. Hello, Eva. How are you doing today?
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm doing great.
That is fantastic. As we talked before, this will be an interesting one because anybody who's listened to this show knows I've got pugs and they never are quiet unless I pretend I go back to bed and it's too late in the day. And then you mentioned that you have your three little dogs with you.
Well, only one's little. Two are pretty big. But yes, they're all three right here on the couch with me.
so we're going to see how all this works out between our two sides, but that's what we do. I mean, that's why it's fun, right?
Right.
Do you want to introduce us to your three?
Sure. We have the littlest one who thinks he's the boss and kind of gets away with it is Mo or Mosby. Sometimes we call him Mosan or Mosif, but all kinds of variations of Mo. He is a little doodle. He's part dachshund and part miniature poodle, we think. I mean, you know, you never know when you rescue a dog exactly what they are, but this is what the vet thinks. He is about 5 years old now, and he recently, probably about a month ago now, was actually paralyzed because he had a slipped disc from jumping from the back of the couch. And we were told it was common in his type of breed. And we were so worried he'd never walk again. And he has not completely fully recovered, but he's very independent now and can get around on his own. So we're really thrilled about that. That's Mo. Okay. He was actually a victim of Hurricane Harvey. We found him in an animal shelter covered in sticker burrs, and we thought he only had one eye because one of the eyes was completely matted closed. And he has been the biggest blessing in our lives. He is just so loving, even though he's, you know, thinks he's the boss and kind of bosses everybody around, he's still, you know, just adorable and sweet. So that's Mo. You probably didn't want that long of an introduction for each one.
No, we love to hear about the pets. Let me tell you, he sounds delightful, and every household has their king or queen. So I totally get it.
He's definitely the king, even though he's the tiniest of them all. And then Vienna, who's the largest, should be the alpha. She is a pit bull and mastiff combination. She's very big. She's very beautiful. And she's so tolerant of him. You know, he'll growl like, this is my spot. I'm going to be by mama. And she just scoots over like, okay, you win, you know. And she's also the most behaved. She comes when we call her. You know, we don't have to, Mosby, we have to say Mo like 20 times before he comes in. But Vienna comes on the first call. She's so good. And then we have Rascal, who was actually left in our neighbors. Our mailboxes have these little planters that are built in next to them. And he was left probably, I don't know, maybe it's been 13, 14 years now. On Thanksgiving Day, the neighbors were going out of town and asked if we would just watch him until we could. We made posters. We tried to find his family or who had left him behind, but we never did. So he just became a part of our family. And he, I don't know really what he is. He's kind of a mix of a whole bunch of things, probably a little bit of pit bull in there, but some kind of shepherd as well. And he used to be a real rascal. That's where he got his name. But now that he's old, he's just so mellow and calm, and he just, you know, kind of lets Mosby get away with everything. So
well, that is delightful. Well, and I understand. I try to explain to folks that pugs have three phases, and it's the larval phase, which lasts until about age 7, is when they are just impish and mischievous and they just push all the boundaries. Then they become these really cool middle-aged guys, and you're just like, oh wow, they're just like those cool middle-aged guys you just want to hang out with. And then they become these sweet little old people. So it's that it's that, you know, step of movement and maturity. So it's always fun when you get those. Now, I know that we're primarily here to talk about some of your paranormal mystery series. And I do paranormal investigation. And like you, I went the path of education, and I still teach some. Education's changed a lot, but I've always actually studied the role of the supernatural as a form of cultural study, which I always think is quite fascinating. So I have read some of these wonderful paranormal mysteries and paranormal romances. And I've oftentimes joked, you know, if these guys weren't dead, I would totally date them. So they're actually better than, locally what's on the market anyway. So do you want to tell us a little bit about some of your series? You've got the Mystery House series. That's the first one, correct?
Right. Yes. The Mystery House series is kind of like Nancy Drew meets the Golden Girls. It's three women in their 50s. They're best friends, and they either flip haunted houses or visit them. And they feel compelled to solve the mystery that's tethering these spirits to this location. And each mystery is based on a true historical injustice that has taken place in that particular setting. And so by bringing that to light, they help the ghosts to move on. There's always a happy ending. But these women never intended to become paranormal investigators. They just, you know, and they never intended for this to be a repeating occurrence. They just wanted to flip one house in their hometown of San Antonio. But then they got such a rush from the feeling that they received from bringing this peacefulness about, you know, that they, well, let's go do it again, you know? And so it's been fun for me to write because I get to go around traveling and uncovering all of these injustices and then creating these ghosts. Sometimes they're based on ghosts that I've heard about, you know, from that region. And sometimes I create a ghost based on a historical figure. But so far, there have not been any animals in the story. But in this 9th book that I'm working on right now, I decided to make my Mosby, a main character in the series. And because my daughter has a theory that he has some kind of sensitivity, because we'll be sitting somewhere in the house and all of a sudden he'll look up like somebody's entered the room, but no one's there. And we're like, do you see something, Mo? You know? And so I thought, you know, that would be a cool character to add to this, you know, little crew in this Mystery House series. And so he is going to be debuting in the 9th book, which is called The Enchanted Bungalow. So.
Oh, that is really cool. Well, if you ever need any advice, let me know. I started on this particular show because I take one of the pugs. I always have a designated paranormal pug in my grumble of pugs that once my team has investigated a location, usually at least twice, we deem it safe. I mean, there's nothing harmful and the location itself is safe and all that sort of thing. I mean, we've got a list of like 12 things, but I will bring this particular pug and the pug becomes kind of part of our research and we try to see how he does. And in fact, I have three generations of paranormal pugs. We are still on generation three and I'm raising generation four. So,
wow, you know, that is fascinating to me. I may have to, after you interview me, I'm going to have to interview you.
And I agree with what you and your daughter were talking about, because some do seem to be more sensitive than others. And I almost would propose that just like people, some are more sensitive than others. And I think that kind of runs through the canine clans. So how very, very cool. I love that he's going to be a character and you're modeling him after your own pet. I mean, does Mosby know that this is happening? And
has this- Well, he might. He is pretty smart. I mean, how else could this little, you know, barely 15-pound animal become the king of household? It's got to be pretty smart, you know?
That's how it happens. So it's always a little. And how did you bring the character in? So does the story actually parallel what happened and how you got him?
In a way, in real life, my daughter and I were visiting animal shelters because she's always loved animal shelters and wanted to volunteer. So we were going around and checking out the animal shelters for a possible place for her to volunteer. But while we're there, let's look at the animals too. And of course, we fell in love with him. And even though I had no permission or discussion with my husband about it, we just on the spot decided to bring Mo home and thought it's better to, you know, ask for forgiveness than for permission. Luckily, my husband, you know, stayed around. And in fact, that Thanksgiving, when we were talking about what we were thankful for, he was thankful for Mo. So it all had a happy ending, but that's how it happened in real life. And so in the book, though, my main character who's like 58, has remarried after her first husband passed away. And this new husband came across Mo in a profile on an animal shelter that he was going to be destroyed in the next 24 hours. And so this new husband decides to just bring Mo home, but instead of, but Mo ends up becoming her dog and imprints on her. And
yeah. Yeah. Yep, that's how it happened. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. They picked their human. Oh, that's fantastic. And it's nice that you're also plugging the animal rescues and pulling an animal from a shelter, because that's a big part of what I believe in. And that I try to promote through this series as well, because there are just so many pets that are in need of homes, and you get these cool little personalities, you know?
Absolutely. And that's kind of what I was trying to do in my other series, The yeah. Underworld Saga, which is geared toward young adults and is based on Greek mythology. In that series, a teen becomes entangled with the gods of Mount Olympus after she's been in a coma, after her parents have died in a car crash, and she thinks she's dreaming, but she's actually in the underworld. And she kisses Thanatos, the god of death, who'd never been kissed in his long existence because, you know, he's death. And so he bargains with Hades for a chance to follow her after she awakens to the upper world. And anyway, she eventually falls in love with him. But in order to be together, she has to become a goddess. So she has to undergo all these challenges to prove she's worthy. And then she has to figure out what she's going to be the goddess of. But she's an animal lover throughout the whole series, which is actually a little bit of a conflict, because Thanatos feels bad about taking her from this beautiful upper world around all these animals down to the dark underworld. And he starts mm-hmm. to have second thoughts about trying to pursue her. But she also loves the bats and the snakes and the rats and all these creatures of the underworld. World, you know, and so she's just as happy there. But so she eventually becomes the goddess of animal companions, and she goes around to these rescue shelters. And just like Cupid shoots an arrow to make people fall in love, she does it to make people fall in love with their animal companions. And that's how these animals get adopted from all these shelters. She just goes around and shoots her arrows of love. So,
oh, that is, I love that. And what a great parallel. Wow. That is a lot of fun. And I just think I love the connection to the Greek mythology and modernity. I always love to see that kind of mashup personally, where you can actually take these concepts and modernize them in such a manner. And I teach humanities and some literature and religious studies. So Greek mythology has always been part of my love. And we're getting, you know, I'm getting a lot of young adults who haven't had that connection, or, you know, their connections come through some of these young adult series. So I think that's fantastic. And I love the fact that she kisses Thanatos. If you ever study the story of Hades and Persephone, Hades was actually quite faithful to his wife. He had one affair.
That was one of my motives for writing the series is that I felt the need to defend that Hades, because even though I loved the animated film Hercules, the Disney film, I don't know if you saw it, but Hades is kind of more like a Satan character. His hair's on fire, he's all evil and everything. And he was a fun character, but that's not really Hades. Hades is faithful. He's just. He might not be the most merciful, but he definitely is just. And so this Underworld Saga focuses on the Underworld family. And even though Thanatos and his brother Hypnos in most of the, you know, myths were much older than Hades, they were the children of Nyx. I made Thanatos and Hypnos the sons of Hades and Persephone, and the Furies their sisters. And so, because I wanted Thanatos and Hypnos to be main characters, and I wanted them to be younger, like, you know, I wanted them to look like they were 17, 18 years old. And so anyway, that's how I created their little family. But another thing I wanted to do in that series was not just highlight dogs and cats and our traditional domesticated animals, but also the rats and the snakes and the bats, you know. And at the time I was writing the series, my daughter had a couple of pet rats. And
I have rats, yeah.
Oh, I had no idea how social rats were, you know, because we had a hamster. And I guess I just thought, you know, rodents were all the same. Our hamster was very independent, wanted to be left alone, wanted to do his own thing. The rats want to interact. They try to get out of their cages, not to run away and hide like the hamster did, but
they
to come
to play
and sit
with you.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's quite true. And I have had pet rats for 20 years, and I never saw myself as a rat owner. I grew up with guinea pigs, but after the first set, and they were hairless, my very first set were the hairless rats. They were brothers. And I just fell in love with them. And in fact, down here, and I try to plug it, there's a Florida rat rescue, believe it or not. And they take in pet rats, or, you know, they scour Craigslist because people put them up for sale, and sometimes for, unfortunately, snake food. And so, I mean, they really work very hard to rescue these guys. And in fact, I'm very thrilled because my household just added 4 hairless rats that I got through the rat rescue here. But they are such wonderful little creatures. And I try to explain that to people.
And people are so resistant sometimes, you know, they think rats are dirty. Rats clean themselves. They lick themselves just like cats.
They do. They are clean.
And so sweet. Just like I wanted to dispel some of the myths about Hades, how people think of him more as like a Lucifer, Satan character, I also wanted to dispel some of the myths around rats and show how lovable they are, you know? So anyway, that was part.
We'll actually pause for just a minute. We'll put in a few commercials, and when we get back, we'll pick up that thread and kind of see what else is going on, what else we can poke into and research and learn about today. So hold on, guys. We'll be right back after these messages.
Now, time for something really scary. A word from our sponsors. Paranormal pets will reappear before you can say Bigfoot. Don't run away.
Hey everyone, Michelle Fern here. You know, dogs are part of our family. They're just our fur babes. And we want them to feel comfortable and cozy, and above all, make sure they're safe and protected. And that's how Diggs feels too. That's Diggs with 2 G's. They're dedicated to improving the safety, happiness, health of your pets. And they have great, smart, stylish, super easy to use products. I love the Diggs Revel collapsible dog crate. And it's not just a crate that you need when you're crate training your pooch. This crate is fabulous for your older dog. Dogs love having a little area they can go in and nest that's just their own. It's wonderful for traveling. If you're visiting people this summer and you're taking your pooch, take the Revel with you. It's a great way to set up a little space for your dog inside the area that you're staying in where they feel comfortable and safe. And guess what? The Revel collapsible dog crate is a cinch to use. It's so convenient. You can literally raise it and collapse it with one hand. very easy to clean and no injuries to paws or jaws. And if you're traveling in the air this summer, make sure you check out Digg's 5-star passenger travel carrier. It's small enough to fit right under your airline seat and plenty of space for your pooch. Make your pets more comfortable with Digg's wonderful products. And for a limited time, you'll get 15% off your entire Digg's order. You just have to go to my special URL, Digg's.pet/pet life. That's Digg's.pet/pet life to get 15% off.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Did you hear that? Our commercials have mysteriously disappeared. Paranormal Pets is back with our haunted host, our ghost host,
Brandi Stark.
And welcome back. So we are having a great discussion about pet rats, which I'm loving this interview. This has been a lot of fun. And in fact, I think there's one episode where I do talk about rat ghosts. I have had them for many years. I had one rat named Shadow who was kind of what people call a heart rat. Heart rats are super special and super bonded to their humans. And he died at a year. He had an inoperable tumor in his neck. And I am not sensitive. I'm not psychic. I don't see anything, but I actually did see him out of the corner of my eye 3 times within that first week after he died. And then that was it. But I mean, that just tells you how attached they can get to their humans. And it's just really, it's fascinating.
It really is.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you do mention that you had another dog who ends up in the underworld saga, Clifford?
Yes, our first family pet was Clifford. And I still think sometimes when I'm like, so Mosby sleeps with me. And so he used to be able to jump on the bed before he had his slipped disc and then became paralyzed. He hasn't fully recovered, so he can no longer jump up on the bed. But sometimes when I'm laying on my bed, I swear I think Mo has jumped up on the bed. I feel an animal come up on the bed and lay next to me, and I open my eyes and Mo isn't there. And I wonder, could that be Clifford? Because we buried him right here on the side of our house. And sometimes I still feel like he's around. Or I'll be sitting on the couch and I'll be working on a novel, just typing away. And I'll feel some kind of like, because I sit, my couch is a recliner and my legs are always out. And I'll feel like some kind of weight sort of settle next to my feet. And I'll think, is that Mo? And I'll look and there's no one there. And I do sometimes wonder if Clifford is still here. But yes, I base Clifford in the Underworld saga on our dog, just because our animals have always been such an important part of our family. And I just like carrying them over into the series. It just makes it more fun for me as a writer to be able to feature animals that I love.
Absolutely. And I think it's interesting because I've heard authors talk about how they'll base characters sometimes off of people that they've seen or a compilation of people. And I don't see why you can't do that with pets. I mean, you have kind of that intimate knowledge, and every pet has that quirk that you just have to love. And it's what makes them intriguing. And and I think readers identify with that. I think that's lovely. Now, and in fact, I'm so happy you actually mentioned the paranormal experience with Clifford, because again, that's part of what this podcast is about. And what you describe is actually, I mean, I've got 20 years of stories that kind of tie into that. How long ago did Clifford pass, if I may ask?
So let's see, it must have been about six years ago.
Okay.
I think it's been about 6 years ago, because we've had Mosby for 5 years and we got Mo within a year after Clifford passed. So yeah, I'd say about 6 years.
That's interesting, because what I've normally found is that dogs will hang around for about a year for most people, and cats actually go a little bit faster. They're about 6 months. or else with cats, you end up with them forever. So it's either one or the other. They show up forever, or it's like 6 months and they're gone. But oh, that's great. And it's always kind of a nice testament. It just kind of means that they're still watching over you. And I think that's great. I always love that. In today's world, one thing that has changed is our connection to our pets. Absolutely. And I joke with folks because I have no husband or children. I'm like, I live with a house full of animals. And there is actually a reason, because lately people have been getting on my nerves a lot. That's why we got the pets. I'm not alone, but I don't have to argue politics or anything. And ultimately, you know, it's just when you get that connection, people really, you know, it's happened now. People really want their animals to go on in some form like we do. And I think these stories are very important. I have a lot of folks that tell me they get a lot of comfort hearing those, particularly those that have just had a pet pass, because, you know, it kind of gives them hope. Like, yeah, in the West, we just are really behind when it comes to concepts of animals and souls. I mean, the East knows, but here we are in the West and we're still, you know, we're still a little Abrahamic in our ideals, but culturally speaking, we're finally catching up.
So yes, and I'm so glad. I'm so glad that more and more people are starting to recognize that animals have souls. And that they don't see this kind of hierarchy where, you know, humans have souls and then animals are lesser beings that, I don't know, just we're all animals and we all share so many of the same characteristics, intelligence, spirituality, you know, and I'm so pleased awareness. To see more humans becoming aware of this similarity between the different species, you know.
All right. Well, now that we're kind of towards the end of our time, let's talk about your current projects. So you are currently working on The Enchanted Bungalow, which is your ninth book. Any idea when that's going to come out?
Yes, it's coming out on Halloween of this year, October 31st. Ooh. And I just returned from a trip to Washington State, where I took my daughter and niece to La Push Beach, and we went to visit Forks, and we went to CQ Point in Washington, all through the Olympic National Park, the whole rainforest, Lake Crescent. We did so much hiking, and I tell you what, I'm a very out of shape, you know, 55-year-old woman. I didn't think I was going to be able to do it, but I did it, and it was so beautiful. We took lots of pictures. We saw some seals. We saw an otter. And we searched for whales and sea lions, but we didn't get any views of those. But we also saw starfish and some hermit crabs and just lots of beauty. We even saw an elk when we were in the whole rainforest, and that was pretty cool. We were only about 20 feet away from him, and he was huge. So we had a wonderful, wonderful time. And so the reason why I took this trip is because the three friends in this series, Sue, Tanya, and Ellen, who are, one of them is about to turn 60 and is a fan of the Twilight series. And so for her birthday, they're all going on a Twilight tour. And so they're staying in this. So one of them dropped the ball and didn't get the hotel reservations in time. So they were able to work it out with the Quileute tribe that there's this bungalow that hadn't been stayed in since the 80s. But if they were desperate enough and they were willing to accept that, you know, there were some strange things that sometimes happen there, then they could stay there. So that's where they're going. And that's where they're going to be dealing with this very malevolent spirit. And it's based on a lot of history, a lot of research that I did about the Quileute tribe and some of the territory disputes that happened. And a particular settler named Dan Pullen, who refused to accept the government's decision to give the Quileute people this 1 square mile of land along the Push. And he razed all their houses. He burned them all down. He put up a barbed wire fence, and the Quileute people for 5 years had no home and almost dissolved, almost became an extinct tribe. But eventually the government came in and, you know, anyway, so it's going to be that spirit that has been still refusing to leave. But there are these Quileute spirits who have been there trying to protect the rest of the tribe. And so by helping them, the tribe, to finally banish this evil spirit, they're going to be able to help these other Native American spirits to finally be at rest, because they've been working all these, you know, years and trying to protect the tribe from this malevolent entity. So that's kind of the crux of it. And of course, these three friends, because they don't really know what they're not true. I mean, they're becoming better and better paranormal investigators as time goes on, but they didn't go into this as scientists. They went into this with just people with good hearts who want to do good things. And so they're constantly getting in over their heads and kind of almost a little bit of like bumbling idiots in many ways, you know?
Well, most paranormal investigators, that's how it goes. Yeah, you have to kind of feel your way along.
So it brings in a lot of comedy and stuff. But so the story itself is barely kind of a light read, but then you bring up that I bring in the dark, true injustice that has occurred that's caused the ghost to become tethered. And so there is a little bit of a darkness to it, but the actual experiences that the ladies are having tend to be a little more, I mean, they can get scary, but they're not, it's not like gore and graphic horror or anything like that. It's a little lighter
suspense
than that.
The feeling that, you know, something's up, and that can be scary as heck on its own. Absolutely.
Right.
So how can people get a hold of this book?
Well, they can go to my website at evapohler.com. That's evapohler.com. And you'll be able to find all the links to all the various vendors. It'll be available in ebook, paperback, hardback, audiobook, and as will all the other books in the series. And people can also contact me through my website if they have any questions. I'm always happy to talk to people and answer questions about my books.
Excellent. And you have one other thing, which is a Kickstarter campaign.
Yes, I am going to be launching a Kickstarter campaign on June 21st, which is the summer solstice, for my Underworld saga. It's the 10th anniversary of this series this summer. And so to celebrate and commemorate it, I'm coming up with a 10th anniversary edition in 3 hardback volumes, 1 trilogy per volume, with a special dust jacket art and a never before seen epilogue starring Dionysus, who's the god of wine. And I'm really excited to kind of commemorate my 10 years in publishing with this special edition. And there's going to be all kinds of other collector's items that are part of this Kickstarter campaign. And so people can find out about that campaign by going to my website. Right there on the front page, they'll see the Kickstarter icon, click on it, and they'll learn everything they need to know about how they can get their hands on this special anniversary edition.
Oh, that is fantastic. Well, I'm going to keep my eyes out on it, and I'm going to check out your website right after this. It just sounds fantastic. And I want to thank you so, so much for being on with us today.
Thank you for having me. I enjoy talking with you, and I hope you're serious about me interviewing you about some of your experiences. I'm just so excited to be talking to a true paranormal investigator.
I would be honored and delighted. It has been 25 years. I didn't see that one coming either, but indeed I am celebrating my 25th year as a paranormalist this year.
Congratulations. That's wonderful. Oh, I may have to make you a character in the series. You and Mosby will be the new ones.
Oh my goodness. Are your readers really ready for that though? But that is delightful. I do want to remind everybody out there, do support your local rescues. This series talks about it. You've heard some great rescue stories here. Again, Florida Rat Rescue, Pug Rescue of Florida. There's lots and lots of animals out there that are always in need of good homes. And again, look at what you get. You get folks like Mosby who end up being characters in books. So I really, really hope you guys will continue to support all of those charities. And on behalf of Paranormal Pets, the spirits of St. Petersburg, and Eva as well, I'm going to wish everybody out there a very happy haunting. We'll catch y'all next episode.
Pet Life Radio presents Paranormal Pets, where you can always expect the unexpected. Each week, we'll discuss all aspects of weird or spiritual animal encounters, ghosts, totems, psychic animals, animal souls, animal angels, and animals in religion, with a little cryptozoology thrown in. Step into the supernatural world of pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.